Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best. Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Good morning, anglers, and welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Hour number two, again, live here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live. And, man, what a great show this has been. So cool to get these guys together. And sometimes I wish the microphones could be on during the break. Probably a lot safer for me that they're not, because I usually end up saying something that I would regret later. But yeah, certainly fun to have these boys in here. And what a great collection of info today.
I know it, Rick, and having so much fun. And second hour is app only, or on the app only, but texting only. So we're not going to be taking calls for that second hour. But we are giving away to one lucky caller, one lucky texter. We're giving away a full-day trip on the San Diego, fishing with Matt or Boog there. Probably not Boog, right?
I don't know. He still drives.
Yeah?
Well, we get some days off.
Well, once every 2 weeks.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. Sorry, Boog. And a few jigs that Danny's brought in. Hand-selected jigs. JRIs? Yeah?
Both. It's JRI and there's some big irons.
So Big Iron is the company, and then the sizes that you were talking about were the DSL, the Donnie Sampson lure, and then the Legend.
Yeah, they named it, not me.
Right. We all know you're a legend, Danny. You don't have to be weird about it, man. No doubt. We're all stoked to have you in here. And this was Danny's idea of putting this show together. The guys that you like to fish with, have become the experts in their time, the generation. You know, the generation next.
And it's not even so much, you know, this and that and that and this. I mean, you listen to the batter back and forth when we're not on the air. This is what we do on a boat.
Sure.
You know? And we're generally laughing or smiling about some dumb thing.
Yeah. I think the questions are over now. We just give each other all day long.
You know? Yeah.
Not so much like, what would you do here and there?
Yeah. I know what you're doing now.
Yeah. Good enough. I got you figured out.
No doubt about that. Well, hey, we're going to continue on with our catch report. Stoked to hear from Marcos. We got the private boater buddy, Captain Mark Wish of Pacific Edge, standing by. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, Ricky, Corey, and you jig slingers extraordinaire. What a great show this morning, listening to you guys. Been awesome. So, you know, we made it through January, thank goodness. February 1st here now, and starting to feel the first hints of springtime. Maybe it's just wishful thinking, I don't know. But days are getting longer, sun angles creeping up a little bit. And the my benchmark tree is just exploded.
Oh, man.
It's
Mark.
Awesome. So, now, I don't know if those sea bass over at Catalina got the memo this year, but I'm telling you what, man, the halibut are definitely in tune with them dogwood trees. But anyway, so last week, we had a little early season signal on that bluefin. You know, we're all hoping and praying it turned into something, but it looked like the wind blew and rolled that water over a little bit, and they kind of went MIA. But I think there's some boats down there looking, so hopefully they get relocated. So for now, we're kind of stuck with the basics here. Bass and sculpin up in this area, bass and sculpin on the structure spots, squid in a lead head on heavier tackle, fished low and slow is the answer. And it's been best in the afternoons and evenings, but man, I gotta tell you, it's been chilly. We had frost on the roofs yesterday, so I don't know, you hardcore guys go get them, I'll stay on my couch. But over at Catalina, lots of squid. Bait situation is good, really easy to capture. It's like all over the place, front and back. Quite a bit of bait around, which is a good sign. Not much new on the fishing scene. The halibuts are really stealing the show there. Man, there's been just a lot of really nice ones on the beaches, mostly shallow, 15 to 40 feet like that, both east end and west end, and a little bit on the front, you know, but mostly back, but all up and down the back on the beaches. There's really nice, great halibuts being caught locally. Halibut are definitely the biggest attraction, and there was a definite uptick here this week, both in numbers and size. Best I heard of this week was 35.5. I mean, that's a beauty, but there's been just a bunch over 20 over the last couple weeks here. really nice grade of fishing around. Bait situation is pretty good right now too. The receiver in Pedro has got some nice sardines, cured sardines, which makes a good bait. But if you want to target them really big ones, those big halibuts love a mackerel. They love the mackerels. So you can jig up some mackerels around the breakwater there in the gaps when the current's moving. Watch for the birds working. Keep your sabiki rigs handy, guys. And if you're fishing those mackerels, you got to use a lot more weight. They do not like the idea of going down and staying on the bottom. So 8, 10, 12 ounces is what it takes to get those mackerels down there. But, man, make sure your gear is in good shape because there's a pretty good influx of that bigger grade fish. And just one little note here I want to make. You know, the guys on the Native Sun, Aaron and the crew there, you know, they've been kind of pioneering a lot of this wintertime halibut fishing. But, you know, everybody's aware of what they're doing, and the skiff pressure gets to them. So, you know, they're working areas, not specific spots. It's not like they're anchoring on a little tiny wreck where if you're not on it, you're out in left field. They're fishing areas. So the areas you want to look for are the hard bottom spots, of which there's a lot out in front of Long Beach and Pedro, and the ones with the bait. And that's where you want to concentrate your time, but let those guys do what they're doing. Appreciate it. And then just as a heads up, you know, we got some really nice weather here this weekend, but it's going to change here this week. We got kind of a rainy, windy, stormy period coming. So I'd get your licks in for the next couple of days because we might have to take a few days off and watch Super Bowl and such here next weekend. But that's this week's report. And no telling what we'll be talking about next weekend.
I like it, Mark. Well, a great job, great report, plenty of good fishing to be had. If somebody wants to keep in touch with all that great information, fishdope.com, best place to do it. And you can save $30 with a new membership by using the code HOOKUPNOW. HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase, no space, saves you $30 on a new membership. And if somebody wants to find you at Pacific Edge, get the best bait tanks in the whole world, how do we find you?
Ricky, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. Phone number at the store is area code 714-840-4262. And the website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And we'll have some kind of report for you next weekend, guys.
I like it, Mark.
The best, Mark.
Yeah, it's all good. All right, and it's brought to us by Gamakatsu. It's not all just about hooks. There's so much more, including the new Gamakatsu fillet knives. Once you try one, you'll always want more. The new tools are also very special, including the Gamakatsu braid scissors, made from a ceramic blade so they will never rust. See your local dealer or check gamakatsu.com.
Certainly some good info, Mark. Yeah. Appreciate that very much. We'll look forward to talking to him next week. Well, busy day on the phones. We purposely didn't take any text, knowing I just scanned through them at the start of the second hour. There's about 100 text questions standing by. So, well, why don't we jump right into that? And I thought this was a great one to get it started. It says, good morning, gentlemen. I'm looking to buy a new jig stick blank at the upcoming PCS show. I wanted to know what your opinions were of the CUI blank and also what cut you prefer. I've heard a size 12 and a size 14 tip. I'm really hoping to use it to catch yellowtail, the Tanner Bank and Cortez. And then second part of my question, where is all of your favorite place to catch a surface iron yellowtail if you don't have a passport? And that's from Eric in Pomona.
La Jolla.
Yeah, La Jolla.
La Jolla is where, if you can catch one in La Jolla, you're a big dog.
You did something right. You got in between a lot of competition. You put a lure in the right place. You caught a fish in an environment that has a lot of things that wants to take it from you. Boats and lobster trout and kelp and hard bottom and sea lions and other people. And
the only thing I would say is scale your lure down.
Whoa.
I told you. I don't know. I would buy the lure up when I was fishing up there and they're biting it.
Yeah. They like those little jigs. There's like a lot of anchovies around there.
Yeah. They're chasing the mackerel. You might want to bump up your jig size.
Oh, look at the difference of opinion.
That's what makes it work, The CUI thing, I'm not trying to say anything bad, but the CUIs that are out today are a much lighter rod than what they were when we first figured them out.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a whole different ball game. I mean, they're far more parabolic than any 542 you've ever seen.
More parabolic.
which was a Harnell, right?
Yeah. Harnell. So they bend, you know, so that's something you got to
maybe too much?
I think so.
Yeah. Because Harnell's, I mean, that's as bendy as it gets, man. Like
butt cat yes. bends.
On. Yeah, right. I mean.
Yeah, but you're so easy to cast.
Right,
you
know, right.
And that's the thing that's what CUIs are. They're easy to cast because they do all the work for you.
What he's referring to, you know, size 12 or size 14 top, that blank comes at 12 feet, right? Or like, well they make 10s and 12s.
They make 9 to 13.
Okay.
Or they used to, anyway. Yeah.
And so he's talking about cutting the tip section down, making the rod a little beefier, a little softer, and then you...
I'm the guy who developed that.
Yeah.
That was a mistake. I made a 12-foot rod for Don Sanson.
Okay.
He brought it back, and he said, I can't fish with this thing. Well, what do you want me to do with it? So I took it and looked at it, and, well, I cut the tip down to a size 13.
Okay.
And then I measured it from the tip down to a 10.5 feet and cut the butt off. That's how it came about.
And that was the combination that you liked the best for throwing a lure, but also
easy,
still having some rod to catch fish with.
Especially fishing bigger rivers.
Now, what about other rods? You know, you had talked about the last time you were on here that you were putting some work into developing a rod. Yeah, I know you have a lot of favorites out there.
With Fishing Syndicate, he originally came out with his S-Class thing, and it's a nice rod. It's lightweight, easy to cast, but it was a 90J, and he wanted me to kind of get behind it a little bit. And I said, well, I prefer something that's 10 feet. That's just what I like to use, you know. So he didn't make a 100J, but he extended a 90J.
Okay.
And it's what's called now the Danny Wade Special.
Okay.
And we just finally, that's what I've been fishing with on your boat and your boat here for, you know, however long now. And they just finally got him out, and he's got him available up in Long Beach at the Bart Hall show.
Okay.
He'll have them available down here in Del Mar. It's a San Diego show. And I'm assuming he's going to the PCS.
Yeah, I would sure think the same. PCS will be exciting. You know, lots of tackle. And Brandon, you were saying you've got Danny's rods on the boat. You fished it, like it, love it. Yeah. You even have, if a guy wanted to try one, you often have one that's, you know, in the corner if a guy wanted to make a cast with one.
Even those Fishing Syndicate, the inshore stuff, they dropped off a bunch of rods for us, and we've thrown some reels on them. And yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
I think it's better for guys to go out and fish, and Matt probably agree, you know, there's not one size fits all for jig sticks or rods or reels.
Yeah.
I think everybody goes out and they're like, 10 foot's a little too much for me, or, you know, they might be like, this is perfect.
I think that's a great call, and, you know, we were talking about PCS, and I don't think I got into too much trouble talking about what I wasn't supposed to, but we're certainly excited. CalStar, you know, we've been talking about it a little bit. CalStar under brand new ownership, and
thank God.
We were certainly excited. You know, it's the first time that we've seen some new innovation, and I don't think that I was supposed to let the cat out of the bag, but, you know, basically John was given, you know, little extra freedom, little money, and you know, they're going to be introducing a couple of new blanks, you know, long rod blanks at the PCS show. So I think what I'm getting at is there's a lot of really cool stuff that's available now. And to Brian's point, exactly, like you just need to go in and do something like that. Go to one of these shows, you know, find a, not to say that our store or the tackle store at Seaforth or whatever else is the right spot, but go to a place where they have some selection of rod, where they're not just trying to sell you the thing that they have, where they have multiple things to offer, and the right salesman is going to talk to you about the type of fishing that you do and the type of fishing they've done, and you're going to do your research on Captain's Concepts, and you're going to go on the new Seaforth and ask the crew what those guys like, and, you know, you're going to make your informed decision on the right
Ryan
piece of gear.
Cast Danny's rod. I don't really fish with Danny's rod because it doesn't fit my style. So if you want to come on the San Diego and pick up one of my rods, you're more than welcome to. I usually have a couple.
One rod doesn't fit all.
Right.
You know, everybody's a little different. You know, what I use, prefer to use, Matt's not.
Yeah, I don't. I'm kind of strayed away from the softer rods.
It's a little different.
I think a lot of these guys at tackle shops too, like at Fisherman's, you know, and Seaforth, everybody in there fishes. There's nobody in there. Everybody, you know, from crews on boats, the guys in tackle shops now.
There's definitely no right answer.
No,
but
they'll put you in the right direction.
Yeah,
you know?
There's no one answer. You know, even. The rod, the reel, the lure, we all use a little something different.
Well, it's something that Danny and I have talked about for, you know, again, on my lifetime is I grew up fishing on the new Seaforth, but then later in life, like, all of my fishing is done on my skiff. And the the perfect rod for me on a private boat is different than totally the rod different. If I'm fishing with Matt totally. Or with Ryan. Like,
totally.
I don't have the opportunity to fully take a big step into a cast with a super parabolic slow rod. Like, I like a rod, which I never did previous to that, but now I like a rod that's got some graphite in it and it is a little bit faster in it.
Right.
You know, like, I never liked a rod that was snappy because you got a line drive out of your cast and it didn't give you that nice, high, arcing, long cast that you were looking for when you were anchored up at the Coronado Islands. But on a skiff, when you're running and gunning and you've got to compensate the speed of the boat sliding forward and you're still making your cast, you're looking for something a little different than when you're
even back
on the sport
boat. In my skiff days, I didn't use a 10 or a foot rod. I used an 8 foot.
Yeah.
I used an 8 foot 670 all the time.
You're going to get up on them in the skiff.
Yeah.
You don't but need to make that 200 foot cast, or, you know.
And when you hook a fish, it's a world of difference,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, yeah,
that, that most friendly on casting, the 10-footer on the sport boat, is probably the least friendly when you hook a 20.
So, you know, it all depends on that. Once again, that's why I said what we relate here today is based on sport boat.
Sure.
Has been learned, developed, and being told from a platform of a sport boat.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's great. Well, why don't we jump back to the text, and we have a great one. It says, good morning, everybody. What an impressive lineup today. I have a question about hook replacement for surface irons. I have a whole box full of great jigs, but many of them have mangled hooks that either have cut or lost barbs, bent from pulling them out with duckbills, etc. Where can I buy new rings? Is brazing the best method to reattach? What are the right treble hooks, et cetera, et cetera? Looking to Matt with his jig company, and obviously all of you guys, you know, comment.
Cut it off, put a new one on.
Yeah. So Danny does a thing where he actually cuts the hook. I'm sure you could look at some of these jigs where the hook eye is cut and opened up and then put back on so you don't have to cut the ring.
Which just seems
super weird, but it doesn't go away. Well, your hook's staying on.
Yeah. It seems like you're compromising,
it
right?
It seems like you're compromising, but you're definitely not. But replacing the ring and the hook is super easy. I've actually made a couple videos, or at least one video, on Captain's Concepts about where to get the rings, where to get the hooks, how to place the hook, and how to do the whole process. It's super easy.
How much will changing that make a difference in the lure? And if your lure swimming good, should you do your best to just mirror exactly what you took off? Meaning,
yes.
Like, I'm sure there's a bunch of different wire gauges of hooks and there are rings, and 100%. There's obviously a lot of different hooks available. Like, what's the move if you're in Rory's situation and you're wanting to braze on some new hooks?
You should try to, if your lure swims good, I would continue to use the same exact hardware that you just took off.
Okay.
No.
And
exactly.
Would that be the case for maybe not trying to change the ring and just cutting the hook and bending it on?
For me, I mean, I can braze rings and do all that crap at home myself, but when you're on a boat, those red handled pliers or those hook cutter thing, I don't know what you call them, but you've got them.
Yeah. Made by a company called Swagit, and it's an odd hook cutting tool that doesn't look like
nice.
It should, and they just
cut through
a hook like butter.
You're on a boat, you get your hook, you know, the hook on a surface iron is a rudder. It's what guides it, you know, what tames it and makes it work right. That hook gets all mangled up, it changes the way your lure works. Cut it at the base of the ring, bend it open, throw it away, cut it on the new one the same place, bend it open, put it on the same way it came off, push it closed, and you'll never have an issue with it.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. But I do it on the boat.
I haven't seen one straighten out yet.
I've never seen it.
I've
yanked on them.
I've tried.
But let me ask this. Do you think a lot of that not opening up is because you're using mono? I mean, with the Spectra?
I don't think it would matter one way or the other.
Okay.
Because
yeah, you use some pretty heavy Spectra.
If you take this ring here.
Yes.
And it's like having a hook. You know, if you take your hook and put it on something right here, you can pull on that thing until your eyes fall off. If you hook it right here and pull on it like that, it's going to bend open. But because this angle is so tight, it's not.
It doesn't have the leverage to open it.
There's more in line.
There's less leverage or easier to open the main hook than it would be to open.
Oh yeah, one
eye. The eye of the hook.
And if you're pulling on anything with a 8, a 9, a 10-foot rod, any rod that's good at throwing a surface iron, it's you're just not going to be able to open up that wire. You know, that rod is that shock absorber, yeah, and it's just going to keep bending. Like, if you're attached with the piece of gear that you should be throwing that lure with, it's just not going to compromise. I mean, however difficult it is for me to accept the fact that, and I've seen that my whole life with Danny, that, like, he just cuts a treble hook and just opens it up and puts it back on. But, damn it, it is the case.
You know, well, it works. If you've got the time and the ability to put a new ring on, so on, is the way to go.
It's a good thing to do in the off-season.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, if you're on a boat and your favorite jig or whatever and the hook gets all mangled up, cut it off, put another one on.
I've seen him do it mid-stop.
Yeah.
The lure gets bit a few times, the hook's mangled. Just pulls off hook. He's already got one cut. You just put it right back on. It's super simple.
And, again, going back to the other way of doing it, you said Captain Concept, you've already got videos showing that it's the brazing process is not a difficult thing to do. You don't need to be a lifetime welder to be able to braze a hook on.
I'm by far not a lifetime welder. but it's super easy. It takes to do one ring. It's a little bit of an investment. You have to buy the torch,
sure,
and stuff like that. But once you get it down, it takes you 2 seconds.
And, again, going back to, you know, your other hat being Captain's Concepts, that's the beauty of the services. Obviously, you do, you know, current fishing, all the things, but everything you've ever made a video on forever is accessible to you. So even if you did that a year ago, as soon as somebody signs up and becomes a member, they can go back, research that video, and see how to braze a new ring and hook on.
200 or so videos that we've already made.
That's awesome. Yeah. And again, we talk about it on here all the time, but it's available through Patreon.
Yep.
If somebody's lesser familiar or thinking, okay, that's it, I really do want to see that, how does one sign up to get that?
I would just Google Captain's Concepts. It'll take you to our Patreon page, and you can sign up there.
One click, boom, credit card info, and every video you've ever made is at your feet.
Exactly. Yeah, and you have access to us if you have questions. Messaging us would be huge. If you have a question about jig fishing or any fishing at all, you can direct message myself or Gavin. And in the near future, the coming week, me and Danny are going to sit down and talk deep into surface.
Hey,
wow, cool.
All right, yeah. Very cool.
And these aren't short videos. It's a lot of like YouTube videos where it's a couple minutes. I make videos that are like 15 to 30 minutes, so I think with him it's probably going to be a little bit longer.
That's really cool. Well, you let us know when that's out. We'll make sure to spread the word. That's awesome. Well, a great text. Hey, I have another one from Kathleen from Ocean Beach. Good morning, gentlemen. What a great show this is. My son keeps pressuring me to go sport boat fishing with him, and I'm a little bit reluctant due to seasickness. Since you have two captains on there, could either of them give me any tricks on how they see people avoid motion sickness?
Drink a beer.
Too young, probably. Those whale watching bracelets that they've been using are miracles.
Really?
I'm not a gimmicky guy.
That's the last thing I would have thought.
I'm not into the Dramamine, but those bracelets that I forget, they like shock them or something?
I don't really know how they work, but
they work.
But you're talking the electric ones, not just the pressure
ones. Yeah, the electric ones.
Okay.
They
work. Put them on people that were seasick and it stops it.
Really?
Yeah. That's the only thing I've ever seen do that.
Like that 100%. Legit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like everybody who's seasick, I'm just like, go lay down. You're going to throw up when you wake up and we'll be home by the time it's over.
Because I've been in a tackle shop and heard Dustin. Dustin brought him in, right?
Yeah. Dustin's the guy. Yep.
Dustin's the man, right? In the shop there. But I've seen him. I've heard him talk about it.
They 100% work.
Really?
If you're going down the hill.
It's witchcraft.
Stick with it. Yeah, I don't know what it is. But
it's better than taking Dramamine. That Dramamine
Which is crazy because here we have two captains that have been on the water for 40-plus years.
Yep.
Or 50. I mean, I hate to date them. But, and you're talking legit.
100%.
Yeah. They work.
People who take Dramamine throw it up.
Do you carry those at Fisherman's? Rick, I don't mean to call you out.
We don't. No, I think it's awesome. And we send everybody to Dustin. I mean, like I said, that's where it is. It's up
that's
and over
crazy.
The hill, and it's the one and the spot to get it.
Those guys rent them over there. Like you could get
on the
boat
watching.
And you're like, I'm dying. And they'll be like, here you go. You want all these small amount of money.
Sweet.
I mean, I would charge a lot of money for it at that point. But
it sounds like Kathleen's going to have to go visit the tackle shop.
It should be little money before you get on the boat and a whole lot more once you're on board.
I think, too, if the kid's not susceptible to seasickness, but you talk them up.
Kids get
seasick when they get talked up. Yeah. But if you just, like my son gets seasick. But if you just look at him and you're like, dude, you're all right.
Yeah, you're fine.
He's fine.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
If you start thinking about it, you're going to get seasick.
Yeah.
100%.
Well, hey, with that said, we're taking a chance, and I believe that we have Pete on the line. And the reason I say it is it's just showing up different because I know he's calling from so far away. But, Pete, we got you on the air this morning?
Yeah, loud and
clear.
There
it is. Okay.
I'm Lucy Global here, and I'm in Villa Manjuelas, Chile. in the Patagonia region of Chile, and we're on the way back from Hacienda de los Rios, which was an absolutely incredible experience there on the Rio Cenis and many, many surrounding rivers and creeks and such like that. Just super good. We're on our way. It's a five-hour drive from there. It's so remote to the airport in Balmaceda, and then we're headed up to Puerto Montt is our next stop. But I had to tell you about this unbelievable dry fly fishing that we had for brown trout at the Hacienda de los Rios. Really fantastic place, a wonderful operation. Only 10 rooms at this place.
Get out of here.
Or, excuse me. No. 5 rooms, excuse me, with 10 people maximum. And you have every day you have your own water. I mean, it was basically nobody else on the water. And the cool thing about it for Lolly and I was that she loves to horseback ride, and so she spent many days horseback riding while I went fishing, which was super cool. And she did go fishing too. But one of the coolest adventures in the 6 days that we were there was we took horses up on a 3.5-4 hour ride up into the mountains to these lakes. And I think the last time the lakes had been fished is 2 weeks before, is what the owner said to us. And they had a beautiful camp up there, very, very comfortable camp. And the fishing was just unbelievable for brown trout, anywhere from 12 to 26 inches, something like that. 27 inches maybe was the biggest one we caught. But they had rafts stationed up there, and dry fly and nymph fishing, but just wide open, all you wanted in that. In fact, one afternoon I told our guide, I said, no more, my arm can't take it anymore. So it was super cool. So, but just wanted to give you that quick report.
Incredible.
Hopefully this is working, because we're in the middle of nowhere here, in the middle of the Andes, surrounded by these unbelievably beautiful peaks here. But I got to tell you, Chile is an amazing place. It is such a beautiful place, and there's fish, water to fish everywhere with trout, and it's just pretty amazing. So yeah, Patagonia region. It's chilly. I mean, it's not warm. It's not. It's maybe in 60 degrees here over that. But the one thing Patagonia is famous for is wind, and it's windy all the time. I mean, but you just learn to cast with it. You know, it's 25 to 30 knot winds, and you're still fishing. So it's super cool. But I certainly hope the show's going well. I'll try and check in with you next week with an update on we're headed a little north up to Puerto Montt and do some fishing and some hiking and some touring around. But I just wanted to tell you about this place, the Hacienda de los Rios. It's look it up on the web, and you can book it through Andy's Adventures is where we booked it through, which is the brother of the owner of the lodge, Marcelo. And just super, super nice people, and just a wonderful experience. So highly recommended to everybody.
Pete, that's awesome. Certainly glad to hear that you know, trip's going so well. And yeah, it's crazy that you sound that clear, that far away on a road traveling. But I'm glad to hear things are going so good. We'll certainly look forward to hearing the full report when you make it back stateside and join us again in the studio. It'll be everything here fun. Great shows going on, and certainly stoked to have these boys talking surface iron this morning. And we're going to get back to it, man. Congrats on an epic trip, and we'll look forward to hearing more.
Yeah, and I just want to credit our engineer George and Lucy Global for turning us on to this, because it's just an app on my phone that I'm calling on, and it's a pretty awesome deal to be able to talk to you all the way up there, thousands and thousands of miles. Well, you guys have fun, and I'm going back to my form of surface iron down here, and that's the dry fly, okay?
All right. Have fun, buddy. Appreciate it very much. Get back to catching them. We'll talk to you when you make it back in the studio real soon. Thanks a lot for that. Well, the phones are phones are done, but, man, there's probably 100 text message questions standing by, and so many hard to choose from, but we're going to jump right back into that with this one. Good morning, boys. Question for Danny. There was a picture that was used in one of the landing brochures all the way back into the 80s of an angler bouncing a yellowtail. As a young angler, that picture stuck with me for years, and I've always been told that was you. Any truth to that? And yeah. Then also, what is the art of bouncing a yellowtail?
Yeah, did I have a cigarette hanging out of my mouth?
Probably the picture. That's the one?
That was on the executive. We were down at Hippolito, and they were chewing. Art of bouncing a fish is wind down to it, lift it, let it fall over the side of the boat and don't hit anybody. You know, I mean,
line them to your tip and lift them to the ship.
But be careful. You know, it's not something I really do a whole lot anymore. It's you lose too many lures and you break too many rods.
You break things, sure.
And you're not 25 years old any longer.
That was a picture taken by a guy named Harry Morgan, a professional photographer. I had no idea the picture was even taken.
That's funny.
And it's just one of those things back in my smoking days and, you know, my porn mustache and all that, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm sitting there and I'm lifting this fish over the side and I see this picture later on. And where the hell did that come from, you know? But it was the landings used it. You know, it was a good shot. I mean, you could even, he's such a good photographer that lifting the fish, you could see the blood trail coming out of them.
Oh, wow, that's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah, I got one of the, I got a copy of it at home somewhere. I don't know. Whatever.
You guys both drive boats where that thing happens. Like, what is your preference as a captain? You prefer that just a guy never does that and allows, you know, yourself or your crew to come and gap the fish or help lift it over? Is it okay for the right guy? Is it just an unspoken thing where when a guy has the ability to do it right in safety, you do it? Like, what is your thoughts as the guys behind the wheel when it comes to that?
There's times where it's okay. There's a lot of times where guys catch a yellowtail, and it's not a yellowtail that we should be gaffing. And just because it's a yellowtail, they scream for gaff. Uh-huh. But there's times where you should just be bouncing them. But you have to do it safely. You wind them 6 inches from your rod tip, lift them in the boat, and once they clear the rail, take the tension out of your line.
Yeah. It's certain guys. Yeah. I think it's time and place, too, like Matt was saying, but certain guys, like, if you want to be a hero and bounce a 30-pounder and snap your jig stick, knock yourself out, I'll stand there and watch. But it's all done safely. Mm-hmm. You know, guys that are unsafe is just, whether they're casting or bouncing, like, just let us gaff it.
I can usually tell before they even try to bounce it that you should not be bouncing.
I think when they walk on the boat.
Yeah.
You mentioned winding all the way down to the rod tip. Is that the thing that people don't do?
Yes.
That they should be doing?
They should be doing that because you don't have control over the fish. And if the lure were to come out or the hook were to come out, you have a loaded rod. It's just like a catapult or a bow and arrow. If that fish comes unhooked, you have 10 feet of slack out, it's going to go right in your back or somebody's kid or something like that. So if it rips out of their mouth and you have 6 inches from the tip, it's not going to go anywhere. You have control over it.
That's it, man.
Yeah, that's some great information. Hey, we're going to be right back. You're listening to Southern California Sport Fishing Voice on the Let's Talk Hookup app. The second
this
hour
year, make reliable boating your resolution and back it with exhilarating deals with a new Yamaha outboard during Yamaha's New Year, New Reliability sales event. From now until March 31st, 2025, purchase a new eligible Yamaha 450 to 30 horsepower outboard and get up to 7 years of coverage protection. Looking to hit the water with lower horsepower? There's a deal for you too. Purchase a new Yamaha 25 to 2.5 horsepower outboard and receive up to $200 in dealer credit toward the purchase of additional goods and services. Don't miss this limited time offer. Visit your local Yamaha dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. Offer ends March 31st, 2025. Subject to change. Other restrictions and conditions apply. Select models exclude 24-month Yamaha extended service added to a 36 or 60-month factory limited warranty. Choice offered to Florida residents is a 24-month Yamaha limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha outboard dealer for details. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha offer.
Hey anglers, AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you or learn more at AFCO.com.
All right, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And, man, you can't really talk surface iron fishing without mentioning a Shimano Trinidad 20A reel. Like you guys have said, everybody has their own tools that they know and like, but I don't know, you could put pen to paper and draw out a better reel than that Trinidad.
That's what lives on all of my jig rods. It's Trinidad 20A with 40-pound mono.
It's a favorite for sure. And, you know, when it comes to casting surface iron, a star drag reel that's got a lightweight spool are some of the attributes that you like the most. And that's certainly the reel that's got a lot of that. A fantastic free spool, lots of power in the handle. and just an excellent casting reel.
Yep,
that's it. Hey, for more information, check out your local Shimano dealer or check out fishshimano.com.
It's time for the PowerPro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with PowerPro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard PowerPro, so you get more line on that small reel. PowerPro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand-new PowerPro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet, perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
The top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Dos, Pride, Tribute Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth, Sea-Watch, and San Diego offer the finest half and full-day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open parties, schedule check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup and having such a great time talking with the boys, surface iron fishing, and giving away a full-day trip on the San Diego along with some hand-picked jigs from Danny.
Yeah, what a cool opportunity this has been and lots of fun. And, man, again, a big thank you to you guys for coming in and hanging, and especially Danny for making that happen. It's been a lot of fun. And, boy, you're not kidding, a lot of hours behind the rail with these three guys right here, and man, a lot of fun. It's been really cool, Corey.
A lot of yellows wrangled, I'm sure, right?
This
a couple,
yeah, a few.
This helping tickle your surface iron fancy.
Absolutely, I know we've been talking about it the last couple months or so, and you know, there are just times in my life that I put something down and the jig stick's not been a part of it the last handful of years, and
come on out.
You understand what I'm saying, right? I mean, I think the fishing at the islands last year.
Oh, yeah. That was fun. That was just
epic.
Fun.
It relit the fire.
I'm telling you. Yeah, I'm getting fired up about it. Yeah.
I like it.
And it's something that never leaves your blood, right? I mean, it's like Pete talking about dry fly fishing. Like, if you haven't had that in 5 years, it's still in your blood, right? And it's just, it gets me fired up.
Yeah, I mean, look at me. I've been doing it forever. But there's nothing more fun to me than whether it be in La Jolla or at the islands, putting that hook down. Standing there and going, oh.
It's starting to happen.
Oh.
A couple turns popping around.
Yeah, you know, and just there's nothing like it, you know.
Yeah.
It's what I grew up doing. It's what I would rather do. I understand you got to chase them around, you know. I get that, you know. But, again, I come from a day where we didn't have sights again in sonar, you know, so it's all about boat position.
Yeah. Brian, you know that your day is going to happen before the anchor comes down. Like, when you're rowing into La Jolla and the conditions are right. Like, do you know the days you're going to have a hit before it happens, or is it always a case where it builds, or is there just no such thing as it's this way all the time?
No, it's you'll be driving up there and you'll be looking and you'll be like, oh man, we're about to do some work.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, some days where you drive up there and you get surprised. You know, there's days where it's been dirty water and we're sitting in shallow catching bass and the big kids show up, but A lot of times it's you get up there and you're like, oh, here we go.
What are the conditions that you're licking your chops as you're rolling up there? Like, is you know, you turn right out of the harbor and you start to get closer and closer and you get that feeling. What are those conditions where you know, like, all right, today's going to be one of those days?
I would say anything above 65, 66 this time of year and down and in with clean water. You know, you know
something's going to happen.
Even in anything with an in to it, whether it's up and in, down and in. You know, I know we lost Doug's house and all that, but you'd say straight uphill, that would be death for Doug's
house. The worst, right?
Oh, yeah. You slide down to Doug's house, and you're just licking your chops like, oh, here we go.
But you say, it's incredible, because you say down and in, and that is the current direction.
Yep.
I don't care if you're Palos Verdes or La Jolla, Point Loma, probably the islands, too, right?
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
that's
down and in.
Down and
that's
in.
It's like the magic.
But La Jolla, I think it's the only place that I fish that you could fish it out to sea. And do
and
just,
still,
just fine.
Yeah, we're so fortunate, seriously, because La Jolla,
different world.
But being a handful of miles from the harbor,
right?
Too close,
right? I mean, we have a few harbors on our coastlines in Southern California. I mean, you could go up to Santa Barbara; they're pretty fortunate. Yeah. Dana Point, extremely fortunate, right?
Yep.
Dude, Mission Bay.
It's
a left turn or right turn, and you're within 3 to 5 miles of glory.
We have fished the Mexican border or Oceanside Harbor
right.
on a half day And you have plenty of time.
Think of how crazy that is.
Yeah, I mean, either way.
60 miles of coastline.
Huh?
Boat's pretty fast.
Yeah, it gets around.
But that's such a cool thing to say. You know, there's a lot of people that listen to the show that are not from San Diego, and what a fun rig to get to come fish. The new Seaforth is big, and it's comfortable, and it's fast, and you guys have never steered away from burning whatever fuel is necessary to make the best catch possible. And you're not just saying that Mexico to Oceanside. You do it all the time. Wherever the best opportunity to catch a fish is, that boat is going to be anchored at that spot.
For sure. And I think a lot of people say best opportunity. Like, if there's, you know, there's always deep water rock cod going on. But if it's springtime, we're going to be somewhere where you're going to catch springtime fish. And if it's, you know, calico bass fishing, yellowtail fishing, we're suckers for
that's
that.
It. And like, that's the thing that I admire so much about it, too, is, like, again, Raleigh, you joked that you're so close to the harbor, there's such easy access there. You have never steered away from putting your people, you know, like, I think a lot of people, there's just too many people, I'm just not going to deal with it. Like, you find a way to put that boat in the right position every time.
Yeah.
Like, you make the best for your passengers possible.
We're only carrying 50-ish people. I mean, 50-ish people on the new Seaforth, you get lost.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a huge
there
boat.
Was. You know, you were fishing Twilight with 120 people down there.
Oh, yeah.
50 people is nothing. Yeah. And, you know, we'll have people now, we'll have 40 people on the boat and be like, this is crowded. Oh, you've seen
nothing.
Yeah,
you've seen nothing.
No idea.
That's for sure.
Dream. Well, there are so many great techs standing by for you guys. I want to remind you, this portion of the show is sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the new, easier online system to book your long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest customer service. You can stop by their Old Town location on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com and be sure you make your reservation today. Another great text come through. Man, what a great show, you guys. Thanks so much for putting this together, Danny. It says, Danny, what are your thoughts on fishing La Jolla? I've been fishing it for the last 10 years, and I've seen ups and downs. And, you know, with Matt fishing there this year, I'm really interested in hearing all three of your takes. Are we in a better cycle, a lesser cycle? How do you think fishing compares right now to years past?
I don't think, you know, everybody wants to talk about, like, La Jolla and the Coronado Islands years past. I don't think it's any better or any worse. It's just this year, or last year, I should say, we had boats fishing there.
Yeah, that's
true. And that makes a big difference. You know, when everybody's offshore, well, oh, well, the islands aren't biting. Well, nobody knows because everybody was offshore. La Jolla, I think, is probably a little better now, quality size, because when I was a kid fishing in La Jolla, the yellowtail in La Jolla was a big one, was 10 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. They were stick them in your boot and carry them home, you know. they were, you know, 3, 4, 5 pound fish, you know. And now that stuff up there is just, well, the stuff of the stuff of the islands this year, too. I mean, it was, there's so much 30-pound-plus fish around, it's
bigger.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I did say plus.
Yeah.
So let me ask, do you think that yellow is residing there, living there?
It doesn't leave. We have, well, Matt, we tell you, there's one or two really big schools, and that stuff will go from Del Mar to down in Point Loma somewhere, and it just travels. I mean, me and Matt drove around the other day. Matt kind of caught us with our pants down during that time. You know, we were out fishing rock cod, and they got in on a little bit of that yellowtail fishing. And, you know, we got a day together where me and Matt were driving the boats, and we're competitive. Matt, I'm not going to let Matt come to my town and beat us up.
Right?
Matt doesn't
it was nice till he showed up.
Yeah, Matt doesn't want to get beat up by me driving around, so it's super fun. Like, it's competitive.
It's a good competitive.
Yeah, for sure, you know. Fun. And we were driving around, and Matt was just inside of us there, and what did we do, 10 laps through there and never saw those things?
And then they popped up.
Instantly,
when Matt,
you could see it without even seeing them on the machines.
Yeah,
they know the San Diego's coming through. Come on.
Well, they just showed up on our bow, you know, and I look over at Matt, and I'm like, oh, poor guy. And he, like, turns around, he's like, oh, God, these things, you know. And it was just, you know, it was just that whole.
There's a little window where they show up and they do their thing. And
that's it. That you're it. There. You're
that day
there.
I went with you. We saw that spotted fish up off the bow, but it was too far away, and we had a couple of fish hanging.
Yep.
And you know, here it is, whatever that month was, December or something like that.
Oh, seems like a blur to me.
And you know, there's a football field of yellowtail, and they didn't do anything.
Standard.
Yeah.
But they're just backs out of the water and going, yeah, here we are.
That's what's so cool, too, about that area that you fish every day, is that story could happen any day, right, during any month. The entire year. Yep. Today, you could be there on the anchor and...
This weather, they might be.
Yeah, totally. One thing about the size of fish that you've been catching lately is there's been so many big ones. And that brings up a question, having all you guys as surface iron experts. Does your gear ever change because of the size of the fish? Or is surface iron all about a casting tool and you just deal with it there within?
I fish heavier line.
Yeah.
Especially when we're fishing summertime.
Yeah, summertime when they're in shallow, it's...
You better pull.
I've lost a lot of lures on that boat. Yeah.
So heavier being...
At like 40, 50,
okay.
60.
Yeah.
Matt, it's crazy. Matt, during the summer, while we're all busy catching, Matt will show up.
Yeah,
Philip Huber will show up.
Fresh a lot.
There's a lot of guys.
I can't tell you how many times I've shown up and, what the hell are you doing here? You know, yeah.
There's no better chance at a big yellowtail on a surface iron on a half-day boat than a
stick bait.
Or a stick bait. We'll save that for later.
So you tend to fish on the heavier side, and it seemed like you were a little bit hesitant.
I basically stick to 40-pound.
Yeah. What I'm getting at is there's never going to be a black or white. This is the right or wrong. But that's what's so cool about having the three of you guys in here, is three guys that are all incredibly successful at that, and that, you know, there's always going to be a differing of opinions on things.
I like to have 40-pound fishes better than 50-pound, and I've been rocked just enough on 50-pound have been on 40-pound.
But we've seen guys with those little tiny reels. Like, we had a guy this year with a little – I think I even texted you about it, about Matt got tooled on one, and this guy shows up with this little reel, and I mean, I swear the yellowtail swam to the rocks, crawled out, and – the guy went right back to the boat, and he was like, what are you?
I think there's a thing of pulling hard on them, too.
Right.
The harder you pull, the harder they pull.
If you pull crazy hard, I think things change. I mean, there's an opportunity where you can pull hard on them, but...
you got to break their spirit quick.
Yeah, if they get their spirit built up, I think being easy on them.
And that's one of those things, too, that is only learned from you guys is a lifetime of doing that. Like, you're... I know the three of you, and I know there's no way a yellowtail eats your surface iron, and any of you are like, oh, I'm just gonna not pull and see what happens. Like, I know you far too much to know that.
I turn the handle. I rarely lift the rod up. I just sit there.
Once you're pinned to the rail, though, for a few minutes, shallow water, you kind of go, I'll just let him do his thing.
I just don't like getting bit at the extension of my cast.
Yeah.
That's when things go wrong.
Especially when it's a rock.
Yeah.
You brought up a great thing, and that was little reels, and it's something that I get fearful of because I feel like I see it more and more, but I really value your guys' opinion. What is your thought of guys that are, I don't want to say trying to make it happen because that sounds so negative, but what is your thought on low-profile reels and where they have their place, if any at all, in the type of fishing you guys like to do with the surface iron?
I think they work to extent, but you're definitely not doing it right.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to fish these big lures, that's definitely not the right deal.
Right.
But the smaller lures, that's what you should be matching the jig to your reel size. If you're fishing a Tranks 400, you shouldn't be fishing a
full size
or a JJ. Yeah. You should be dropping down to the Legends or
whatever.
The LJ or the Mini.
I think it's location where you're fishing, too.
Yeah.
You know, if you're fishing out in that deep water and you're using a little tiny reel, you're outgunned.
What are you doing?
But if you're in the shallow water, like, you know, 5 fathoms or less, you can sneak one in there. You know, it's happened.
And
it also doesn't, you know, the smaller reel, because the spools are so tiny.
Right.
You make that cast of, 150 feet. Well, you got no line on your reel.
Sure.
So your gear ratio, even though it's 6-1,
right,
you're still only pulling in 14 inches of line every time you turn the handle. Whereas in your Trinidad 20, you turn the handle, and at the end of your cast, you're still getting 40-something inches. You know, so it's like they say in the movies, size matters.
That's it. Well, a great one. And, Corey, do you have a text standby?
Yeah, I do, actually. And it comes from Ralph Amenafee. It says, good morning, boys. All the jig sticks I have are some kind of composite. and I'm probably overestimating my ability, but I never feel like I get the distance I should be getting. Would switching to a glass rod help? He said, thanks. Ralph Minifee.
Depends on technique, I guess.
Yeah. You'd have to watch him cast.
Yeah, I'd have to watch him cast. It's technique.
And you guys have said it. Like, everybody's different.
Yeah.
Everybody's preferences, builds, the way they're built to cast.
Rod works different.
When I make a cast, I stand flat-footed. None of this 1 foot up and leaning over the rail. And I can cast as far as anybody, you know.
You don't aim when you cast?
I only do that when you're around. But my cast is very short and compact, whereas somebody else's is totally different. You got to find a comfort zone, and you got to learn how to cast.
It's like swinging a bat or a golf club. Everyone kind of does it a little different, but you want to accomplish the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because you could go to the shop. I mean, you can go see Rick in the shop or Dustin, and it's that gives you like a third of the story, right? Like really putting it in your hand and catching a fish casting is...
You should definitely practice before you show up on the boat.
Yeah,
but I mean, as far as the type of rod and the length and...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a...
It's tough to... say.
I also think if you're advanced enough that you're asking the question that your texter was asking, he's got multiple rods and they're all composite and he's not as happy with... That is the one thing about a composite rod. When you introduce graphite to it, they're snappier and they're faster and they definitely have a tendency to line drive your jig off the rod tip. So either you adjust your technique, or you're a guy that's clearly savvy and likes all this fishing, you should go get a glass rod. Bias for me, the guy that sells fishing rods, to say that go get another one.
But I'm sure he has a friend that has a glass rod.
Go get a 90.
Or go jump on a half or three-quarter day, but we'll hand you a rod to use.
You said it earlier that you've got rods all the time, that if a guy wanted to try one, there's an extra rod that's got Danny's name on it that you could...
Have Danny's name. I think he signed it.
I signed one for you.
Is I've moved my reel up higher.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, that's definitely made a difference. Because with the glass rods, I feel like you can have your reel a little bit lower. But with that composite rod, you need to bump it up a little bit. Not so far where you look like your surf caster, but just a little bit more than your average. And it definitely makes a difference.
I think reel placement's big, too.
Huge.
Especially for person, too.
Yeah.
I know a lot of guys who like a shorter one than a longer one. And I'm usually on the longer side for most people.
And I think Danny back in the day taught me... from the elbow to the bottom of the reel, the palm of your hand should be right at that reel.
Your fingers, somewhere in there, tip of the fingers.
Good starting point, for
sure.
We've always said as a baseline for bait fishing, I like it like right to fit in your hand, and a baseline for a long rod, exactly like Brian said. I like where the tip of my middle finger is, so just pushed a little bit farther forward.
There it is.
But that's
everybody's
a baseline.
Preference.
Totally.
But again, if these guys have been using composite rods for however long and he's not comfortable with it, go to a glass rod.
Yeah.
Give a glass rod a try. It might be your key, you know.
Yeah, it might be it.
Yeah, it could be. There's a Danny Wade special. Go look at that.
There you go.
There it is.
And you know, Raleigh, you were saying too, like if a guy was just getting into it and there's a million long rods out there, I remember the last time you were on here, you were saying an excellent starter rod, you like just a regular traditional glass 90J.
Yeah, that's what I tell people to get. If you're looking for one, you could basically do everything with that.
Yeah.
And fish little jigs and big jigs, and it's a good starting point. It's not too crazy where it's real slower glass rod, and it's just all around does everything good enough.
And a starting point for a texter like Ralph Amenifee. That could, I mean, he may decide he want something a little bit different either way, but that's a great starting point, 90J.
Yeah, perfect.
There it is, man.
I like it. Hey, you guys touched on it a little bit, but this was another great text, and we're going to try and slide one more in here before we run short on time. It says, good morning, guys. What a great show. My question is for all of your guys is, do you ever adjust your line size when surface iron fishing? Will a lighter line aid in more distance in casting? You guys talked about a little bit in terms of pulling on big fish, you know, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but is there ever a time when you change your line size?
There used to be, but not so much. It's a sea lion issue and things of that nature. I fished 30-pound and even 25-pound for years and years and years and years.
Because you could get away with it.
Because we could get away with it. Yeah. We used to have a little thing on the boat called Boom Boom, you know. but that was a different lifetime.
Completely.
It was a different lifetime, you know. And 40-pound.
Yeah.
40 pounds.
Yeah. But both of where all of you guys fish, like we joked about earlier, there are a lot of obstacles.
Yeah.
Getting a bite is certainly a hurdle, but it's not the finish line doesn't come right after that. There's a lot of things that want to take that fish
away
from you.
There are times fishing with either of these guys, whether it's the islands or La Jolla, you see these fish and you're going, I'm just going to lose my lure.
But
you
make the cast.
You do it anyway.
But you make the cast anyway. You know
it's the most bad neighborhood that could be, but if a turn flares and dips the right way and a yellowtail pops his head up underwood, you're going to uncork the cast no matter what.
Oh, yeah.
You got it. You know, if you don't make the cast, you don't know.
Yeah. If you don't make the cast, I'm sure not going to go down to him.
You don't have a chance, you know. So, you know, if you lose a lure, well, you'll lose a lure. That's why we make more.
That's the beauty of what both of you guys are doing now is – You don't have to have the one that can't be replaceable. Now you can go right back into the shop and pick up another one and be right back at it.
My heart will always be a Sandcast Taddy 45, but that was a different ballgame.
Yeah.
It was a different time frame.
In that respect, like my love, my most favorite lure to fish all the time, always, was a Sala 7X Lite. You could cast it anywhere. When you're driving in a skiff and you're hauling ass, you can still cast it and push it right through it. Always. But... You know, it's hard to. I have a JJ 270 tied on now.
When me, you, and Bodan were out eating lunch, we touched on that 7X. Yep. North Island, Weatherside, under the light, Weatherside. I mean, the 7X is history.
Yeah, when there's wash in the water, Taddy 45 is great. I love a Taddy 45, but that 7X is tough to beat when the water's choppy or mixed up.
Oh, man, that's some great information.
How'd 2 hours be gone?
Dude, are you kidding me? We're going to be right back. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to find out who's won this full-day trip on the San Diego and that hand-picked jigs from Danny Wade when we return on Let's Talk Hookup app and 97.3 The Fan.
You know, whether you're going fishing, diving, or just having fun on the water, there's nothing more worth doing than messing around in boats. So let me ask you, are you ready to upgrade your ride? Boat and Motor Mart of Oakland is your exclusive Western U.S. dealer for Steiger Craft. Created for inshore and offshore waters and laid out with the serious fishermen in mind, Steiger Craft has built a solid reputation for performance and excellent rough water handling. If adventure on the water is what you live for, now's the time to invest in your passion. Call Boat and Motor Mart of Oakland at 510-437-1444. To look at the whole fleet of Steiger Craft online, go to steigercraft.com. Now's the time for a rugged, reliable, and fast Steiger Craft from Boat and Motor Mart of Oakland.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. So, if you want your tackle to be the state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar, available at fine tackle dealers.
Get ready for the most exciting outdoor show of the year, the giant 15th annual Pacific Coast Sport Fishing Tackle Boat and Travel Show, March 6th to the 9th at the OC Fair and Event Center in Costa Mesa. Check out hundreds of sport fishing exhibitors, manufacturers, tackle dealers, fishing boats, and fishing resorts taking up all 7 halls at the fairgrounds. 217,000 square feet plus fantastic seminars and free kids trout pond. Backed by popular demand, the PCS show also has freshwater to cover bass and trout. Learn from some of the top names in the sport fishing industry, from catching giant bluefin, swordfish, calico bass, and more. Take advantage of incredible show specials from major tackle retailers and boat dealers. Talk to the top fishing travel destinations. 4 full days, Thursday, March 6th to Sunday, March 9th, the 15th annual Pacific Coast Sport Fishing Tackle Boat and Travel Show at the OC Fair and Event Center in Costa Mesa. Don't miss it!
Sport fishing, not just for dad anymore, thanks to the Dana Wharf's Kids Club. Dana Wharf Sport Fishing invites all anglers 12 and under to join the Kids Club today. Membership includes over $100 of really cool stuff, like 2 free fishing trips, whale watch trip, as well as a free Dana Wharf Kids Club hat or t-shirt. Log on to the website, danawharf.com, or visit them in Dana Point Harbor, the bass capital of the West, and only minutes from the 5 freeway in Orange County.
If there's one thing we like, it's choices. And at your San Diego County Ford dealers, you can find yours with the Ford F-150. Whether it's towing, powering up, or getting from 0 to 60 in 3.8 seconds, the power to choose between gas, hybrid, or all-electric is yours. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Only at your San Diego County Ford dealers, they'll be glad to hook you up.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up. We're going to have Brian Castleton flip the coin. Go for it. Right. And let's see who won our today's prize. The caller today is John. John from Escondido. Congratulations. Going fishing on the San Diego and getting a hand-picked few jigs there from Danny Wade.
Some big irons and a JRI to go with it. Dude. So certainly some good fishing. Well, boys, can't even begin to thank you guys for taking the time to do this. And what a fun thing you put together, Danny, having the boys in here. So, man, it's been a busy show, way more info than we could certainly get out in that short amount of time. But if somebody wants to find you, Danny, we got a really cool video coming up that Matt was talking about. You guys are going to do it together on Captain's Concepts, but can also do what we do and see you every day down at H&M Landing.
Yeah. Yeah, come on by.
Come on and pick out a lure and get questions on a rod.
Talk to the grumpy old man.
Certainly be there. Brian, first time having you on the show. I really hope you come back. It was a great time having you on here, and thanks for coming and sharing so much info. Somebody wants to come fishing on board the new Seaforth, do all that great stuff we were talking about. Again, like you said, six guys all drive the boat. You're going to be on a boat in a great atmosphere with the best people in the world teaching how to do it. How does somebody come join you?
Yeah, just come see us at C4 Sport Fishing or jump on the web there and buy a ticket and come hang out.
Go down and see Marcos.
And our wheelhouse is open. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of guys close their wheelhouse. Come in, talk to me. Come in, hang out.
You might even see me hanging out.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of guys hanging out.
Like, go on a Wednesday, and there's a good possibility that Danny Wade might be standing next to you.
Yeah.
That's a statement, though, because you're welcoming it. You want people to come up.
I do. I let so many kids drive that boat, and you know,
cool.
Parents taking photos. I think, you know.
Yeah.
No, but I think that's the key to everything.
Yeah, super cool.
And again, I said it before and I stand behind it. I think it's the single best spot to take a kid fishing is to jump on the new Seaforth and go fishing with you guys. You're so kid friendly. Yep. Do a great job about it. Like, you make the right atmosphere for those guys to get it. And then they become the regular years down the line. I'm sure at this point you've seen a lot of kids that were the Grom that became your crew member or just a professional or whatever it might be. And it's really cool to watch. And same thing, if we want to keep in touch with everything that you got going on, Matt, two fish jigs. I know we talked about a little bit, but a huge sale coming up at the PCS show, your Captain's Concepts, coming fishing with you, San Diego. How do we keep in touch?
Captain's Concepts, the easy one. If you want to sign up, you can message me there. We have an Instagram, Captain's Concepts, two fish jigs. If you catch a fish on a two fish jig, please send us a picture. We love to see them. But we have an Instagram and Facebook there. And come out fishing on the San Diego. Fishing.
Awesome.
Once again, you might see me there.
Yeah. Good possibility, too. Corey, a great show. Super stoked having these guys in here. And, man, what a lot of fun we had. We got another couple of great shows coming for you. Tomorrow, we have Captain Dave Ibrahim of the Tomahawks going to be joining us. A lot of fun having Captain Dave here in the studio. We'll be talking all about fishing there. And, boy, a whole lot more fun with you. You stay tuned. Tomorrow morning, we'll be back live on The Fan. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Facebook and YouTube Live, and 97.3 The Fan.